Well, good morning and greetings to each one of you in Jesus' name. It's good to be here. Good to be gathered into God's house again here at home and looking into His Word for inspiration and worship of our great God. I too was blessed by the service thus far, and yeah, I was thinking of couple of different aspects of our Sunday school lesson, but maybe I'll just leave some of my comments go for this morning. Yeah, I think the challenge is to look to God, not lean to our own understanding. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, we think we know. I think we got it figured out. And yeah, it's a challenge to me. But I think that to still take time, maybe run it by the Lord first. Verse on our bulletin here this morning, I appreciate that, and I think it goes well with some of what I want to share this morning. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I'm not sure if I see the reference for that, but I was blessed by that. I was thinking this week about what to share, and I was undecided, actually, for most of the week as to what I was going to share this morning. I'm actually not planning to share from my Sermon on the Mount series. Actually, I have a verse or two from there that we'll look at, but not really planning for that to be the basis for, yeah, our message here. I believe it was Friday evening there. A couple of us were traveling to Ohio, and it was in Ohio, I believe. We were getting pretty close to where we were going. Those of you that were with me, I think you know remember what I'm talking about. There was a sign just, I think, before we got off the one exit there. I don't even know where we were totally, but it said, "This could be your last text." I think a couple of us commented on it, on that sign. It kind of jumped out at you. Kind of interesting looking sign. It was just kind of one of those boring road signs, you know, the green with just the plain old green road sign, like you would have your street name road on or whatever. But it said, "This could be your last text." And I was thinking about that. You know, I think we kind of know why they put that there. I think it's to remind us drivers, those of us that are driving, and maybe drivers especially that are typing on their phone while they're driving, that they're being distracted and not paying attention to the road like they should. And it could cause an accident, and it could cause a fatal accident. Could be fatal to you if you are doing that, driving in and playing around on your phone and so on. And I believe we actually do well. I think we tend to, are you like me, and we kind of tend to dismiss that, those warnings? It's for someone else, you know. All those people out there that are playing around and texting all the time while they're driving. Well, maybe I should look at my own life. We'll put it that way. And take the warning to heart for myself. I think we do well to heed that as Christians. Some of those warnings that, you know, our government puts out. I think we do well to pay attention. But I kind of took that sign a little different, maybe, than what they meant it. I was reminded, you know, of the finality of death. I was reminded of how frail life is, how short life is, and, yeah, what do we call that? The brevity of life, don't we? And how that you and I, you know, we can be called away at any moment. And as I saw that sign, I had already been thinking about the Burkholder family that at that very time was having a calling hours for Wilmer there. And they had just lost their dad, husband, grandfather, whatever he was there. He was with them and he was gone very suddenly. I believe a week ago he was there at their worship, Sunday worship service, and was involved in participating. And it seemed like a pretty normal day. And all of a sudden, very short time later, he was gone. And you know, they didn't know. They didn't know that. I don't think anyone did, that it was going to be the last time they were together. And I was thinking about that. I didn't know Wilmer very well myself, but I did have the privilege to sit and chat with him at a family get-together this past summer, a few months ago. I have good memories of that. And so I was thinking about the brevity of life, and I let my mind wander some more, and I thought to myself, you know, I told myself, you know, you're on to share a message this Sunday morning. You know, what if this was the last text, taking this word a little different, what if this was the last text, as in Bible text, that you would be sharing with your people at Cornerstone? What was the last time? What would you share? Of course, we don't know those things. We never do. But yeah, I just had to let my mind wander a little bit and thought some of those things. And I said to myself, answered to myself, you know, if I knew that was going to be the last time, I think I would preach about the salvation that is in Jesus. And the importance of being ready to go. The importance of being right with God. Ready to meet God. And I said to myself, well, you know, I think the text that I would use would be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I thought about that. I said, well, maybe that's just what I should share this morning. I felt the Spirit just led me. Well, if that's what you would, there's no time like the present. And we never know when it would be could be our last time. And so that's a little bit the emphasis that I want to have for the message this morning. There's going to be a lot here that I don't bring out or that I maybe had on my heart, but maybe don't share. And I do believe that really, you know, as ministers of the gospel, that's a part of every message we preach, right? Should be. That at the core, the end goal of a message is that people be pointed to Christ, right? And so there is that, but I would like to especially emphasize that this morning. For a title this morning, I've chosen the words, "This could be your last," and I let off the word text. Instead, I just put there on my notes, dot, 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 as in an unfinished sentence. And you and I, you can finish that phrase in your mind with, you know, your words of choice. You know, this could be the last time I go to the house of God with the people at Cornerstone. This could be the last conversation I have with one of my brothers, one of my sisters, before one of us is called away. This could be the last time that we're together as a family like this. And I don't say these, I don't mean to have a morbid or dark or downhearted outlook this morning, but I want us to think about reality. I want us to be real with life. And Be real with the urgency of the hour, of the importance of having my life in order today, right now. Because, you know, we tend to get just pretty routine with life, don't we? And, you know, life just kind of goes on, continues on as we know it. And I thought it was very interesting. I was blessed by a lot of those verses, Caden, that you read this morning. And the one stood out to me. How was it that they think that they're, that's not coming to me, but that things are just going to keep on, they're good times, it's just going to continue forever. I don't have the words totally in my mind right now. And that's kind of how we tend to be, right? Things are going well, life is good, it just keeps on rolling, you know? But the reality is it's not gonna just continue on as we know it. And our life and the lives of those around us are fragile. We take life for granted. And so quickly, it can, our lives, our life, it can and will come to an end. James 4, verse 14, I believe it is, it says, he raises the question, for what is your life? And he says, it's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's what he compares our life to. Just a little bit of steam that's coming off the kettle on the stove. It's just like, and it's gone. There's lots of descriptions in the Psalms, I believe. Psalm 90, I believe it is, it says, our days are like a tale that is told. And I can't remember if it's the same place, but it talks about our days as grass. We're like grass. It grows up, and it's gone. It's cut down, withers away. These are some descriptions the Bible uses to describe how short our lives are. You know, our life here is a very fleeting and temporary thing. That's one of the realities of our life. Another reality of our life is that we do not know the end date. We don't know the end date of our life. Only God knows that. It says in Job 14, verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God has determined our lifespan. And yet another reality is that after life, we meet God. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says, the spirit shall return to God who gave it. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You and I, we will meet God. We will be judged of God. It's a reality of our life. And still yet another reality is that after life, man will spend eternity, you and I will spend eternity in one of two places, either heaven or hell. But you know, this morning, those realities of our life don't need to make us fearful. Excuse me. Because of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I really like that verse. And you know that it really puts the Bible, that the story of the Bible, it wraps it up pretty much in that one verse, does it not? And that's the good news, the good tidings of great joy that we have, that I hope we will be singing about in this, Lord willing, through this Christmas season. That's the good tidings of great joy that we have and that I want to preach here today. There's salvation that we can have through Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. You see, that verse tells us we were to perish. We were set to perish because of sin. But now, we can have eternal life. You know, and I was reflecting over the Bible as a story. And you know, the first few chapters of the Bible just pretty much tell the story of us all. The story of our first parents there, Adam and Eve. It's pretty much the story of all of us. God created, think about that, God created the world. He made the perfect place. And He put Adam and Eve in that place. And God wanted to fellowship with them. God wanted people to walk with and to talk with. And He had that with them. He had that fellowship. And you know, he set before them the choice. He gave them the power to choose either for Him, obey what He had said, or for themselves, against what God had said. And of course, we know their choice. They made that choice for self. They made that choice to sin, to choose directly against what God had told them. And we have to admit, as we all would have done. And that fellowship that God had with them was broken, that they had with God, that was broken. It was ruined by sin. And like I said, it's the story of each one of us. We can put our names in there. Sin is the universal problem of mankind. It's the problem that you have, is the problem that I have, whether your last name starts with an A, or whether you're like my last name, or whether it starts with a Z, anywhere in between. It is the problem that we all have. We all chose, just like Adam and Eve. We chose for ourselves, and we chose against God. And God still wants that fellowship with people. That's what He has always wanted. He wants that fellowship. He wants to walk and talk with mankind. But you know, that choice of sin, sin is what gets in the way and ruins that, just like it did for Adam and Eve. It still does the same today. Sin ruins the relationship. The sin problem is the universal problem of all people. But you know, the cure is also universal, thank God. God so loved the world, He loved everyone, the whole world, that He gave His only Son to save the world, to save mankind. You know, the only way for sin to be dealt with was for sinless blood to be shed. And Jesus Christ was the only one that could do that. God sent His only Son to give His life and die for all mankind, for you and for me, so that we could live. Think about that as a father. You hear that are dads this morning. Think about doing that as a father. Would you give your son? Think about giving your son to die for someone else. It's not even something I want to think about. We want to be there for our children. We want to protect our children. We want to keep them safe and well. We don't want any harm to come to them. But that's exactly what God did for you and for me. He gave His only Son to die for people like you and I, people that chose against Him as God. And that's a love that I don't know if we can even hardly get our minds around. Gave His only begotten Son. And now we don't need to perish, but we can have life, and we can have life eternal. That's the salvation that we are offered through Jesus. It's such an amazing offer. You know, it's one of those, sometimes we say we have some offers, well, that sounds a little too good to be true. It's probably fake. It sounds too good to be true, but it is true. Only it is true. It's a gift we are offered of God, and it's a gift we need to choose. You and I, we need to choose whether or not to receive. You know, God just doesn't just say, okay, you're all saved, regardless of your choice. We need to choose. The gift is there for whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth in Him. And it's a choice that you and I have to make. And you know, it seems like it should be such an easy choice. Choose life instead of death. Choose to be saved instead of perishing. I'd like to read two verses here from Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount there. Two verses I picked out here. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus talking, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." It seems like it should be such an easy choice, as I said. To choose Christ, it makes so much sense. To choose this gift. But we see here that choosing Christ means choosing against myself. Choosing Christ and life, when we choose that, it's a straight gate, it says. It's a narrow way. And it means I have to give up of myself. The way is too narrow. There's not room for myself. It doesn't fit on that way. And it's not the popular way because it's just too restrictive. Jesus said the way to destruction. It's the easy way. Many go in thereat. It's where the majority are going in because it's just the default, it's easy. And this morning, it's a choice that you and I have to make. Which way are we going to be on? Are we going to accept Jesus' offer of salvation? Seems like it should be such an easy choice, but it's a choice many are not willing to make because of the price. That is giving up all to follow Christ. This morning, you and I have to make that choice. And I believe it's more of a day-by-day choice, maybe perhaps, than it is a one-time choice. It is a one-time choice you need to make. But then it takes a regular choosing, continually choosing Christ. This morning, today, we still have that opportunity. We have the opportunity to choose salvation. I'd like to read a couple of verses in Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, let's read verse 7 to 15 here. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. This passage brings out the today. Today we have the choice. It's important to make the choice today. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 also says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Okay, we have the choice to make. We have the choice to make today. Am I going to accept and follow Christ? Or will I choose to go with the flow? With the flow on the Broadway? Today we have the option to choose. We don't have that option promised for tomorrow. You know, this could be my last chance, opportunity to make those kind of choices. This could be your last. This could be the moments of our life. We don't know that. We have salvation available today. Luke 9, there's a couple verses here I want to turn to. Luke 9, in my Bible, the heading here. It says, starting at verse 57, the heading is the high cost of discipleship. We have as follows here in verse 57 of Luke 9, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We have the excuses here. Various excuses that people had when Jesus, they had a partial commitment, would you say? They said, yes, I will follow you, but let me first go do this. Let me first do that. I thought also of that parable, I think it's just a few chapters over, of the man that invited, was it his servants? I can't remember now. Invited people to the meal, and they began with one consent to make excuse. And people are still the same today. And people have excuses to not accept this great gift of salvation. Today isn't a good time. You know, I want to live for myself a little more first. You know, I really should accept that offer, but maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow will work out a little better. There's various excuses. And maybe an excuse is that, you know, those other people, they claim to be followers following Christ. They claim to be Christians, but look how they are. They're hypocrites. They're not living right. If that's how the Christians are going to be, then, well, that's not for me. You know, the devil has plenty of excuses for us as people to not make a commitment. Jesus said here, it's like the man, he starts to plow, puts his hand to the plow, and he's looking back. He's looking around, he's looking behind him. It's not going to work very well. If he's going to plow, he needs to be, this is not auto steer and guidance and all that stuff like we have today. This man has to be focused. Maybe he has to pick an object out on the other side of the field and plow in a straight line to that. He needs to be focused. He can't be looking around, looking behind him. I'm assuming this is a plow pulled by oxen or something like that. They're going to go all over the place. There's going to be nothing straight about what he plows. It speaks of a lack of dedication. And Jesus says here that kind of person is not for the kingdom of God. This morning, I want each of us to think. We need to think seriously about life. Serious where I'm at with God, personally. We need to think about being prepared to meet God. Amos says in chapter 4 of that book, verse 12, he says, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Are you ready to meet God? Am I ready to meet God? You know, in thinking about that message, or the words of the title, you know, this could be my last. And how would that impact your life and mine? You know, if we bore that in mind each and every day, you know, this could be the last text message that I sent to that friend. Would that impact at all what I send? Would I want to change some words in that? Would I want to make sure they're... Would I want to clean that up a little bit? What about if this was my last conversation with a brother that's sitting next to me on the bench here at church? Would that change some of the things we'd talk about after church? I and him. How would that conversation go? You know, would I really feel okay with that last, with that last snide comment that I had in that discussion that we of things that we didn't quite see eye to eye on? Would I really be okay with parting with that as my last words, if I knew he or I was going to be called away? What if this was my last devotional or something like that at church or in personal life? You know, would that change how I view my time with God or how I view the study of his, of how I put my heart into study of his word? There's a quote I came across. I think we're used to the quote, "Live each day as though it may be your last." And the quote adds to that. "Live each day as though it may be your last." And it adds, "Because one day you'll be right." Because one day you'll be right. And you know, I think if we really could remember that each day, each time we're tempted, you know, with a gruff response, each time we're tempted to be unkind or impatient, you know, I believe that would make a positive impact, a positive effect on my, looking at my life, I believe it would. In closing here this morning, analyze your life. How am I doing? Is my everyday walk of life that which I would be okay with, you know, if this was my last? Would I feel like I have a lot of cleanup to do first? If that's the case, my friend, this morning, you better do it today. You better do it now. Don't wait, because we do not have a guarantee of a second chance. We do not have a guarantee of tomorrow. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, do it today. The opportunity is yours today. You may not get that tomorrow. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. And this morning, I don't mean to unsettle you or scare anyone into God's kingdom, but I believe it is very important to be right, to know where you stand with God today. And today, I'm not planning to bring a invitation as sometimes we do it through song, but if you feel that you need help in your life, you haven't accepted Christ, and you know He's calling you, find one of us after the service. Find one of your parents or friends that can help you. We want to help you. There is salvation available for each one in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. It's for everyone. And we want to help you if you are there. I trust this morning that each one of you take honest inventory, that I take honest inventory of where I am in my standing with God. I take an honest look at that and be ready to go at any time. Let's pray.